Lord, we are just humbled and awed by your presence in this place, Lord. It is such a privilege to be here with you, Lord. We come excited and in praise, Lord. Church, let's just lift him up in praise right now, Lord. We enter your gates with praise and your courts with thanksgiving, Lord. We are so grateful for all that you do and all that you've done. You are the same yesterday and today and forever, Lord. You work in us, around us, through us. You unite us, Lord, as one body of one mind. We walk in step and in unity, Lord, to pursue you and the things of your kingdom. So, Lord, we just come with great expectation. Lord, we want you to move today. We praise you, Lord. We ask that you minister to every heart here today, Father. And Lord, just have your way in this service today. We lift you up. We praise you. Let us honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
For Children's Church, and we're going to get into the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, and just to let everybody know that this is June 1st, and the new Daily Breads are out in the Fellowship Hall. And I got a note here from our wonderful secretary. Whoever borrowed the scissors from the business office, please return them. Our secretary needs them. Thank you. Of course, when she was realized they weren't there, she went, I took my scissors.
Okay, just so you all know, Pastor says I should put a note on there that says, you don't return them, I'll go stab you.
Oh, I did not. Some of the bickering that goes on behind the scenes here. Ephesians chapter 1, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We do ask, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts this morning. Father, your word is most important. It's vital. It is necessary for our walk with you. So make it clear. I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God. Because I confess, as I do every Sunday, I cannot do this without you. I'm just a mere man. Yet you're the King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to, in your bulletin, it says chapter verse 8 through 14, but I want to start at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Last week, we just spent the whole message on verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, even Tom capitalized on that this morning with the communion meditation. We're redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
You understand that? I think that we covered that pretty thoroughly last week. I'm redeemed. I'm bought back. I am now owned by the Lord because he paid the price for me. All right, so I belong to him. I don't belong to me. I don't belong to Kathy. I don't belong to you. I belong to him. Hallelujah for that. We can each say that. You know, that Jesus Christ paid a price for you. He has redeemed you. He's bought you back. He's taken you out of darkness and placed you in his marvelous light. And what a pleasure that is to understand. You know, that's why we can say, you know, that I belong to the great God party. Remember that? The very first message. You know, I belong to the great God party and will have nothing to do with a little God party. See, my God is not a little God. Christ doesn't want nibblers of the possibility. He wants grabbers of the impossibility.
That's right.
You know, he wants the grabbers of that which is impossible. When you look at your life and you look something at something that's coming your way and you go, that's impossible. God says, yep, that's what you need to go for. That's what you need to reach out for. Be a person that wants the impossible to happen in your life. Because if you don't hunger for that, it's not going to happen. We're just going to lead a life of mediocrity. And that's not Christ. That's not what he wants for us. That's not what he paid the price for. He didn't pay the price for your soul so you can lead a mediocre life. He paid the price for your soul so you can walk in victory and you can walk in power.
That's right.
In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Hallelujah. And that word prudence means simply means understanding. He made the understanding and he made the wisdom of his redemption known to us. He wants people to know. He doesn't hide that mystery.
No.
It's hidden from the people of this world until they recognize that the way that they're living just isn't cutting it. Anybody here before Christ, you came to the place where it's like, my life's just a wash. It's miserable. I got no purpose. I've got no direction. I'm just floundering. But see, God doesn't want you to live without purpose. He wants you to have a purpose in your life.
That's right.
And this is a mystery that he has made known to all who will hunger for him, all who would want that. And personally, I can't understand why anybody wouldn't want it. When I came to Christ, and I finally, you know, I was one of those that came to Christ kicking and screaming. Anybody else do that? Yeah. Yeah, I came kicking and screaming. I came kicking and screaming. I didn't avail myself of the wisdom and the understanding that God wanted to impart to me. Then he says in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. See, you will not find the wisdom of life without understanding and coming to the life giver.
Right.
The life creator.
Amen.
He's the center of it all. And he purposed this to be in himself. You can't find it any other way.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he said, I am the way. I am the wisdom. I am the truth. I am the knowledge. I am the life. What you need that life. That's what the way, the truth, and the life is. And he has imparted this mystery to those who want it. Do you want it this morning?
Yeah.
Do you want the wisdom of God?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness, how could we reject the wisdom of God when the wisdom of God incorporates all that we could ever think of, all we could ever dream of? I have an active imagination. I do. And I've shared some of my imaginations with you. But you know, all of that's got to be centered upon the Word and upon the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This is why he says here, which he purposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Oh, I was almost going to grab this for a drink of water. Thank you, sir. Yeah, would do that. You know, that is a mouthful. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the dispensation of the fullness of times, I meditated on that for quite a while. God, what are you saying here? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, you might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, I believe that God is saying here that when that final day comes, when everything is going to be fulfilled, the dispensation of the times, I will gather together up to myself all those that are in Christ. Do you want to see that day?
Yes.
Do you want to experience that day? You can. Every single person on the face of the earth can experience that if they've just come to Christ.
Right.
And lean upon him. He might gather together in one thing. Look, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 7. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is the fullness of that of those times. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Remember, the bride is what? The body of Christ. The husband is who? Jesus. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away..." Oh, listen to this, please. We have a sorrowful life in this world. I don't care how good your life is. It's sorrowful compared to what is coming in our future, and I believe near future. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" You know what he's saying there? He's saying that you're not going to have to see, look for him and reach out for him by faith. You'll be able to see him. You'll be able to touch him. You will be able to hear his voice, not in your spirit, but with the audible ear. You can hear the voice of God. It boggles my mind what is in store for us. And God, verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these things are true and faithful.'" You know, there were times when God said, "You don't write this down." And there's times he said, "Write it down." Because there are times that he would speak to a prophet and he didn't want people to know. But this he wants us all to know. He said, "Write it down. Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I love this where he says, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. It is done." When he spoke these words to John, he said, "It is done." It was done then. It is done now.
Yes.
And it will be done when we show up. It is spoken, and that's why back in Ephesians that Paul was telling the Ephesian church, he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one. He'll gather us all together, not just us in Grace Christian Fellowship, but all those in the body of Christ that cry out to Jesus, those who really hunger for Jesus,
yes,
those who really want to know Jesus.
Yes.
I was reading something, I think it was Paul Wilberforce that said this, that people sometimes come, they come to his former house and will look at the place next to his bed where the floorboards are hollowed out a little bit from his knees, from spending so much time before God in prayer. And then Paul Wilberforce said this. He says, people don't come to hear me preach. I want them to come to watch me burn. To burn with the power of God. To burn with his presence.
Yes, yes.
To burn with a hunger to know him in deeper ways and not ever to be satisfied with where your relationship is with the Lord, but knowing you can always go deeper.
That's right.
Do I sound like a radical? I hope I do. Because this is what I want for my life. This is what I want for my wife and myself. Yeah. This is what I want for our family. This is what I want for you. And I believe this is what God wants for you. He wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness and not be satisfied with anything else.
That's right.
In him, verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You see, what I read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 7, is a beautiful picture of what that inheritance is. You know what an inheritance is? All right, I inherited some money from my mom. It was, if I remember correctly, it was like $7,000, which was a real blessing. Real blessing. Somebody was just to come up and hand you $7,000, would you take it?
Oh, I would.
Oh, yeah, you would. Yeah. But see, in order for me to get that, my mother had to die. Because the inheritance cannot be enforced until the testator passes away. Or passes on. And here he's saying, in him, say in him.
In
Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance.
Yes.
Okay, we have obtained it. See, when my mom, she had the will, had a will. You know, I have a will. And Kathy and I have a will. And, you know, Lauren is in that will. And she knows she's in that will. That doesn't mean that I have to live very carefully around her, but she knows that there is an inheritance that's going to come her way if mom and dad don't spend it all beforehand, which is a possibility. No. But she doesn't receive that until we're dead. Understand that. Pretty plain and simple understanding of what a will is. She doesn't get it till I'm dead. But you see, Jesus died. So the inheritance is now given.
Right.
Which means that I don't have to live a mediocre life.
Right.
My mom gave me $7,000. Hallelujah. In a lengthy way, that ended up being able to use that to put down for adoption fees for Lauren. So my mom helped us and helped her have a grandchild, even though she wasn't around to meet Lauren. But see, Jesus has died and I have obtained the inheritance. That's what it says in verse 11. What have I have obtained? I've obtained that place in heaven when the new Jerusalem comes down. And when I will be in that place where there, he says, there will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. There'll be no more disease. There'll be no more angers. There'll be no more unforgiveness. There will be none of that stuff that we have to survive in now or we try to work through. It's done. I've been given that. I have that place. You can't take it away from me. You can't take that from me. I can't take it from you. It's what we have. Why? Because we are predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. There's that word, predestined again. You understand, a couple of weeks ago we talked about predestination, that when God has determined every single person to be saved. There's that theology out there that says, well, there's ones that were predetermined to be saved or predetermined to go to hell. To me, the scripture says that God desires all to come to repentance.
Right.
And for none to perish. That's his will. He's predestined. You know, so I'm going to pick on you since you're right close to me. Before you got saved, God had you marked as his son. He wanted you. He desired you. He died on the cross for you. But until you opened your heart to receive him as Lord and Savior, you were damned. Amen? Right? But you made the decision to open your heart to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. It's the same as you did. Right? You opened your heart to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. I opened my heart to receive Christ as Lord. That was an act of my will. It was an act of your will. God didn't grab you by the hand and say, I'm going to twist your arm and put you down on the floor until you finally give in. He doesn't do that. He doesn't violate our will. So predestination simply means it's an act of God's love for each and every one that he died on the cross for you. He predestined you to be his, but it's your choice. And that was right here. It says in verse 11, in him we all also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. What is that saying? That is saying that God predestined. He wants to give you. We have a giving God.
That's right, you do.
And he wants to give you that place in his kingdom. He wants to give it to you. He wants you to inherit it. He's already saying, the testator has died. Now he's risen again. But he died. That makes that will is now in force.
That's right.
And comes to pass. Verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him. Verse 13, in him you also trusted. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Five of you did. I'm glad five of you did. The rest of you need to get saved by the end of this service.
Yeah, that's funny.
In him you also trusted. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Thank you. At least now there's about 15 of you. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word sealed that is used there is pharagio. And you know what it means? It means to stamp with a signet for security and preservation. You're stamped with a signet. It's the same as the king who has a signet ring. And when he would take the wax and drip it onto the proclamation, he hit it with the signet ring, that it was now sealed. It was the same as his signature. That was his signature. It wasn't done by an auto pen. No pun intended. Well, maybe a little. But he would seal it. And what Paul used that word signet to stamp with a signet. You are stamped with a signet, which is the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. Turn with that to me there very quickly. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. He didn't say, I call you by my name. He said, I call you by your name. What is your name? Speak it out. What is your name? My name is Matthew. All right? So, Joseph, he called you by your name. You see, this is personal.
That's right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But he doesn't say, I just saved the world. He says, I saved you.
That's right.
I'm calling you by your name. I'm calling you by your name. I'm calling you by your name because you are important to me and I know who you are. I have formed you in your mother's womb. I have a purpose for you and your name is important to me. Joseph, I want to save you. Joseph, will you open your heart and receive me? Will you?
Yes.
Okay, you're saved. I know you're saved, you know, but this is the whole point I want us to see in this when it talks about I'm stamped with a signet ring. That I am stamped by the very stamp of God. I'm sealed.
Yes.
By the very power of God. I'm given this inheritance. And the Holy Spirit, it says in the scriptures, and this really, really, I love this. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance? This inheritance I've been speaking about, the guarantee. You know what the word guarantee is meant there? The guarantee is meant as a down payment. The Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you alone. I will send to you the helper. I will send to you the comforter.
Yes.
Known as the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is coming to you as a down payment. Can you imagine that? God gave himself as down payment.
Yes.
Now, what is a down payment? When you go and you go to buy a car, and they say, well, you go, or a house, let's say a house. And they say, okay, well, you got to give a down payment of a certain percentage. And you give the down payment. That means now the bank says, okay, you did that. Now I will do this. And I will front the rest of the money for that house so that you can move in. Right?
Right.
So a down payment is. The Holy Spirit is a down payment.
Yes.
Given by the Father. Ushered to us by the Son as the earnest money of the inheritance that he is giving you.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. You know the beauty about that? You don't have to pay anything else. When I buy the house, I still got monthly payments. Amen? Who's got monthly payment on your house? Who pays rent? You know, you're helping your landlord pay that monthly payment on their house. All right? But in the kingdom, the only thing I can give is myself.
That's right.
That's it. But I have to realize that Jesus held nothing back.
That's right, he didn't.
When he made that down payment for me. Held nothing back. And all he asks is, Matthew, please, don't hold back on me.
That's right.
Don't hold back. Give your all to me. Paul Wilberforce said, I don't want anybody to come hear me good preaching. I want them to hear me come and watch me burn. And I belong to the great God party.
Amen.
See, I'm not a Republican.
Nope.
I'm not a Democrat.
Nope.
I belong to the great God party.
I
don't want to be on the side of Republicans. I don't want to be on the side of the Democrats. I want to be on God's side. And I do not ask God to be on my side. It's just like that. You ever see a bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot?
Yeah.
Well, you're in a lot of trouble.
Amen.
You're in a lot of trouble. You know what a co-pilot is? He's there just to assist the pilot. He's there to make corrections if the pilot does something wrong. But if I will just allow Jesus to be my pilot, I don't have to worry about anything going wrong.
That's right.
I want to be his co-pilot. I want to be in the seat that does what the pilot tells me to do when the pilot tells me to do it.
That's right.
And go in the direction that he has me going, because he's the one that's charting the course. Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Praise him. Praise him this morning, church. Let's stand and just praise the Lord this morning. Let's stand and just praise him and thank him. Thank him. Thank him for what he has given you. Thank you for the inheritance he has given you. Thank him for the understanding that he is giving you an inheritance that where there's not going to be any pain, there's not going to be any sorrow, there's not going to be sin to have to wrestle against. It's all going to be gone. It's going to be just the beauty of the power and holiness of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray now.
Yes.
I pray, Father, that your word would truly challenge.
Yes.
I pray if there's anyone here that's not saved, that today would be the day that their names would be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If there's someone here who's just been really wrestling with their relationship with you, Lord, and they've been backsliding and falling away, that they would renew their relationship with you today. Because, Lord God, you've given them an inheritance.
Yes, yes.
And this mystery of your will is according to your good pleasure of salvation and freedom, which you purposed in yourself. Thank you, Jesus, for your word.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Praise you, Lord.
May
the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Yes, Father.
To give you peace.
Yes.
The only place you'll find that peace is in the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody needs prayer, come on up. If you have not received Christ as your Lord, come on up. I'd love to pray with you. If you want to renew your walk with the Lord, come on up. I'd love to pray with you. And one other thing with those online, Maplewood Nursing Home, we greet you. We thank you for joining in with us this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you.